for this afternoon's reading with the help of the Lord, I'd like to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. The book of Acts, chapter number 8. I'd like to begin reading with verse 26 and read to the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and, behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May God bless the reading of his holy word, and let us bow before him in prayer. I believe there are times in all of our lives when we can look into God's word and read a passage and we sometimes, I feel, don't understand fully what we're reading. We don't know what we're reading and we get discouraged and we can just, I think oftentimes, just close the book and go find something else to do with our spare time. We don't take the time to look into his word and to look into it and reference other scriptures and that would explain to us what the meaning is of the verses that we are not understanding. At times we don't seek out for help. We don't seek help from someone who can help us to understand God's word. And I believe that that's an example of what we are supposed to do when we do not understand scripture is written, I believe, here in this portion of scripture that we have read. This takes place after the God's servant Stephen was stoned. The first martyr in Acts chapter 7. And then in chapter 8, where we did not read the beginning part of the chapter, it's recorded how the apostles were teaching in other cities. Philip, it says, was teaching in the city of Samaria. He was preaching Christ unto them. So the apostles had a willingness. They had a willingness to teach, a willingness to preach Christ, a willingness to do God's will, to be his servants. And that readiness of Philip here is crucial to the story that we have read. It says that an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Remember, he's in the city of Samaria. An angel of the Lord spake unto Philip and said, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So the angel of the Lord tells Philip, Leave where you are, leave the location where you are, and go to this other area. Go to this other area, which is desert. He doesn't say why. Philip has not explained why he should go. The angel of the Lord tells him he should go. So Philip arises and he listens. Again, he has this willingness to do whatever God would have for him to do. And in this area where he is sent, he comes across this man of Ethiopia. He's a eunuch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. He was in charge of all her treasure. So this is a man with much authority, many possessions that he, in a way, could almost call his own. He was the keeper of them. Much trust was put into him. And he was on his way back to Ethiopia. He says he was in Jerusalem for to worship. So we can infer here that he was a convert, a Gentile convert to Judaism, who was going to Jerusalem to worship. So he had converted to Judaism, but he had not accepted Christianity. He had not perhaps even heard much about it at all. We can infer from these few verses that we have read. And this man, this eunuch of Ethiopia, says he was sitting in his chariot. So on his way home, on his way back to Ethiopia, he was sitting. He was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading from Isaiah the prophet. And the place that explains here what he was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. It's a well-known chapter that speaks of the Lord and his sufferings, our Savior, the sufferings of Christ. It was foretold long before he was even born that he would suffer, that he would be as a lamb led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He did not resist. He laid down his life for us. And this is what this man of Ethiopia is reading. He's reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near to this man of Ethiopia. Go near to his chariot. And Philip, of course, listening, willingness to serve, willingness to teach, says, Philip ran to this man of Ethiopia, and he heard what this man was reading. Perhaps he was reading out loud. And Philip asked him, Do you understand what you're reading? And this, I find the answer of this Ethiopian similar to our response at times. He says, How can I understand except some man should guide me? How is it possible for me to understand what I'm reading unless someone show me, unless someone would explain this to me? How is it possible? Maybe he was a bit discouraged, like, again, we can be at times. But he had a willingness. He had a willingness to learn. He had a willingness to be taught. And because of that, God sent unto him Philip. God knew exactly the heart of this eunuch. He knew exactly that his heart was in the right place. He had a desire to learn. And because of that, he sent unto him Philip. And Philip says, excuse me, the eunuch says, who is this prophet? Prophet Isaiah chapter 53. He said, who is this prophet speaking about? Is he speaking about himself? Is Isaiah speaking about himself here? Led as a sheep to the slaughter, open not his mouth. Who is he talking about? He had no idea, could not understand. And it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. So he's in Isaiah 53, and he preached unto him Jesus. How simple of a verse is this? He preached unto him Jesus. What else did he need? What else did this Ethiopian man need to know? What else did he need to learn? He needed to know who Jesus was. He needed to know what he did for him, what he did for himself personally. This Ethiopian man did not know who Jesus was. He did not know who the Savior of the world was. He was a convert to Judaism, but did not understand that Judaism was just a path to Christ. He wanted to learn, and he did not understand, but Philip here showed him, preached unto him Jesus. So simple. That's all he needed to know. That's all we need to know in our lives. If we know Jesus, how simple is that? But it's all we need. It's a complete all in all. That's all we need to know is Jesus. What did he do? What did he speak? What did he teach? If we know that and accept it in our own lives, we will have salvation. So how simple is that? It doesn't get much more simple. But again, it comes down to a willingness. And if we are willing to learn, God will always send someone to us to teach us, as was mentioned. And in Acts chapter 18, we see another example of this. Acts chapter 18, beginning with verse 24, it speaks of a man named Apollos. He was a preacher. Many good things are spoken of him. It said there was a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus, and this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So this man Apollos had many positive things spoken about him. He was eloquent in speech. He was mighty in the scriptures. He knew much. He had much knowledge. And he was willing to share that. He was willing to preach and to share that. But it says he knew only the baptism of John. That's where his understanding stopped. His understanding stopped at the baptism of John. We know that those who were baptized by John the Baptist had to be rebaptized into the death of Christ. So his understanding was incomplete. He was doing God's will, teaching, preaching. Many good things were spoken about him, but his understanding was incomplete. And it says that he began to speak boldly, this man Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So these two people, Aquila and Priscilla, they were friends of Apostle Paul. And when they heard the preaching, the teaching of Apollos, they knew it was incomplete. They knew that his understanding of stopping at the baptism of John was incomplete. He needed to speak about Christ. His knowledge was incomplete, and they were willing. God sent, we can be fully persuaded that God sent unto Apollos, Aquila, and Priscilla to teach him, to expound unto him the way of God more perfectly as it's written. And then he was used further, this man Apollos was used further to go preach Jesus unto the Jews. And it says he mightily convinced the Jews, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So all he had to have was a willingness. All he had to have was a willingness, and God would show him. God would show him all that he needed to know. And that's true for us as well. All we need is a willingness to be taught. Many times we read the disciples asked Jesus what a parable meant. Jesus spoke to them in parables, stories that had a heavenly truth, a heavenly reality. And the disciples often asked, what do these parables mean? They had a desire. They wanted to know. They did not just hear the parable and be discouraged and think, I don't understand what this means, and then leave it at that. No, they asked, what does this mean? Teach us, Lord. What is this? Many times it's written, teach us, Lord, what does this parable mean? What is the meaning of this? Another example that came to mind that's right around this area in Acts, Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 10. It says that the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. So Paul and Silas went unto Berea, and it says, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. So these people that were in Berea, it says they were spoken of very highly here. These people in Berea searched the scriptures. Paul and Silas preached unto them all they needed to hear, all they needed to understand. And these people in Berea took this to heart. They were ready to receive it. And they searched the scriptures to see whether these things were true. They did not simply hear the preaching, but they went and confirmed later on their own. They went and confirmed, does the word of God speak this? Is what Paul and Silas are teaching us true? And they found that, yes, Paul and Silas were teaching them the truth. They had a readiness of mind. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica who perhaps did not receive the teachings of the apostles with such readiness. But again, God knows when we're ready. He knows when we have a willing heart. That's all we need. We do not need some great knowledge. We do not need some great wisdom. All we need is a readiness, a willingness to learn. And God, through his Holy Spirit, will reveal unto us who his Son is, who Christ is, what he has done for us, the life that he lived. That will be shown unto us. All we need to have is a willingness. Not even a fool can err from what God tells us to do. We don't need some great education, some great earthly knowledge. We just need to be ready and willing to learn. And if we are ready and willing to learn, then God will show us. God will teach us. It's his will. There's nothing that God desires more than that we would come to accept him, and live our lives after the pattern of his Son. God is willing to show us and to reveal unto us all his truths. And this is shown in the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 5. Jesus says, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So Jesus here is giving an example. If someone comes to your house at midnight and asks for 3 loaves of bread, he says, I have visitors that came unexpectedly, knocks on your door at midnight and asks him for 3 loaves of bread. You're going to want to give it to him? You're going to want to arise out of bed to give him these three loaves? No. It's inconvenient. But because this man was persistent, that's what importunity means. He had a persistence. He kept asking, give me bread. I need help. Because of that repetition, because of the insistence, it says this other man gave him. He rose and he gave him that which what he was looking for. And Jesus says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Because if your son asks you for something, are you going to give it to him? Of course you are. You're going to give him those things that he needs. If your son asks for something to eat, of course you're going to give him something to eat. How much more is your heavenly Father willing to give you what you're asking for? If you seek eternal life, of course our heavenly Father is going to give it to you. He's going to show you. He's going to show you what you need to do to inherit eternal life. That is the complete desire, the will of God, to give unto us all things. That's what he sent his son here to do, to give us all things. Not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, to reveal unto us who he is. God sent us his son that we would understand who God is. God dwells in unapproachable light. Whatever word we try to use to describe God is incomplete. We cannot possibly describe him and his highness, his holiness. We cannot comprehend it. Our human minds are not given to comprehend who God is. And so he sent us his son and says, learn of him. Learn of my son. Listen to what he's saying. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him, is what the voice from heaven says. Hear ye him. Learn of Jesus and how willing God is to show us his ways, to reveal unto us his truths if we are but willing. And if we simply read God's word and we don't understand it, and we get discouraged and go our own way and find something else to do with our time, what we're doing is we're falling right into the devil and his trap. We're doing exactly what he wants. We're doing exactly what he wants. In Matthew chapter 13, it's written of the parable of the sower, the sower who went to sow seed, and it speaks of the ground of the that was ready to receive the seed, that brought up fruit, and then some ground was not ready to receive the seed. And Jesus explains what this means. In Matthew 13, verse 19, it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So there's a description here of a man sowing seed, and some of that seed fell by the side of the street. And it did not bring up any fruit. The sun beat down on that seed and it bore no fruit. That's how we are. When we read God's word, we don't understand it and we just walk away discouraged, not having a desire to learn of it. We are falling right into the devil's trap because the wicked one, that's the devil, the wicked one comes and he catches away. He snatches that which was sown in our hearts. If we hear something good, if we hear some truth from a sermon, if we hear some truth, we read some truth in God's word, we don't understand it. The devil can hardly wait to just snatch that from us. So we forget. We forget what we even heard. He just wants to snatch it away. And then we are destroyed by him. But verse 23 says, He that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If we read the word and understand it, we understand it. We receive it with gladness. We understand what we're reading. Then God can work in us, and we can bring forth fruit. Our lives are completely changed. We are bearing forth fruit, bringing forth fruit to his honor and to his glory, not for ourselves, not for us to receive any praise, but for God. So that's the contrast here. So we have to have a willingness to serve, a willingness to be taught. And that's what we read here in the story of the eunuch. He had a willingness. He wanted to know. Perhaps he was discouraged. That's not written. It's not written. He doesn't say for sure that he was discouraged, but we can assume that he was. And he says, how can I understand this? How can I understand what I'm reading unless someone explains it to me? That's how we can feel at times. But if we have that willingness to learn of him, then everything will become so much simpler to understand when we walk through the scriptures with somebody, someone who is more experienced, someone who has accepted the faith, can teach us, can show us the way of God more perfectly. And that's what Philip did. He taught him Jesus, and they went on their way, and we can assume that they were speaking the whole time. They were speaking of the script from the scriptures the whole time, and they came to water, and the eunuch says, see, here's water. What hinders me? What is stopping me from being baptized? And Philip says, if If thou believest with all thy heart the things that I have taught you, the things about Jesus, then thou mayest be baptized. And he said, the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they went down both in the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and the eunuch was baptized of Philip. He believed with all his heart. That's all he needed. All he needed was a belief in his whole entire heart. His entire being was found in belief. And because of that, he had a desire to learn. That comes together. A willingness to learn comes together with belief. They go hand in hand. God will make sure of that. He will make sure that there is no possible way that we are willing to learn, willing to be taught, and no one's going to teach us. That's not possible because of who God is, because of how holy he is and how holy and perfect this word is that he gives us. All we have to have is that desire, that simple childlike faith, that simple desire, that simple yearning. Jesus describes in a parable that we are to accept the kingdom of heaven as of a field, as if we found that in this field we found something of great price. We're going to sell all that we have to buy that field. We're going to give up our whole life. There's nothing more important to us when we accept Jesus. There can be nothing more important to us. We have to sell all that we have, give up our entire former life that we could learn of Jesus, to be conformed to his image. What does that mean? To be conformed to his image means to be remade, to be remolded, refashioned, reshaped by God. That we would live a life as Christ lived, not serving self anymore, but serving him. That's the way of life. That's the way of everlasting life that this world cannot give unto us. This world has nothing to give unto us but lies and deceit. This world has nothing to give unto us other than something else to take away our free time that we had. If the devil can just simply take away that free time where we don't look into his word, he is thrilled, because there's no ability for us to be changed then. If we look to the things of this world, we'll never be changed. We'll never be pricked. We'll never be prodded to something greater, something higher. But if we search for him, if we search for God with our whole beings, our whole hearts, we will find him. We will find him. Whoever it is that seeketh, he will find. I don't know if I can find it here quickly or not. In Jeremiah, it speaks of if we seek the Lord with all his heart, with all our heart, we will find him. I'm not finding it right now. I thought it was in a different chapter. But if we seek the Lord with all of our heart, if he is our all in all, if we give up everything else and desire to learn of him, he will bless us in ways that we cannot even comprehend. Our lives will be so changed that we will not even recognize ourselves. That's God working in us. That's what he wants, to deliver us from the power of this world, from the wicked one, to deliver us from that and to conform us into the image of his Son, to give us life everlasting. That's God's desire for us. And we will find him if we seek him with all of our heart. I remember we had a visiting minister here. I don't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago. It doesn't matter. And he spoke of the importance of reading the word ourselves, going home after a sermon and reading the word for ourselves. The brother said that if, and I never thought of it like this, but if we're here listening to a sermon, it's like we're babies getting spoon-fed. Someone's feeding us directly. But when we go home and we read the word for ourselves, like those that we read in Berea, those that went home and looked into the scriptures and saw whether the things that they were being taught by Paul and Silas were true. If that's what we do, if we go home after a sermon and look into God's word and think, is this true? Is what I heard true? And we want to learn. It's like we're feeding ourselves. We're growing up. We're maturing. We're not being spoon-fed anymore. We come together. All we have is a quick hour together in a service. All we have is a half hour or so for a message. It's not very long. And we'll never understand God's truths in their entirety if we just sit here and go home and make no effort on ourselves, by ourselves, to learn. If we come here and sit and we think that that's sufficient for us, that's sufficient for our spiritual man, this half hour or so sermon, this hour or so service, once, maybe twice, if we come on Wednesdays 3 times a week, if we think that's enough, all we're doing again is playing right into the devil's hands. We're doing exactly what he wants. Because we'll never understand. We'll never understand fully. We'll never understand fully what things God wants from us, what he expects from us. He expects a newborn creature, a newborn creature in whom old things are passed away and all things are become new. And that's only possible if we look into his word, if we learn of it. I often think, how, as believers, how ready are we to be witnesses if we don't know why we believe what we believe? If we simply believe what we believe because our church believes that, that's not deep enough. Because someone's going to ask us, why do you believe what you believe? Oh, that's because that's our church practice. If we don't know why from the scriptures, why we believe what we believe, how are we going to be able to convince others? It says Apollos convinced. He convinced the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Jesus was the one who was written of in the Old Testament. He is the one that God is pointing to throughout the entire Bible. Beginning in the Garden of Eden, the path was to Christ. That was the ultimate plan. We have to know that. We have to know why we believe what we believe. What we believe is not simply something that's been passed down because it's tradition. We've been taught the holy word of God. That's why we believe what we believe. And someone asks us, why do you believe? We can pick a range of topics, doesn't matter. Why do you believe that? We need to know where it's written. Where it's written, why do we believe what we believe? We need to be able to find the fruits of the Spirit. Where is that written? We need to be able to find why we need to become new creatures. We need to be able to explain why we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. These are key fundamentals. We have to know where they are. We have to know why we believe what we believe. And God will bless us and we will grow. We will grow and we will be conformed into his image more fully, more perfectly. But we have to desire. All we have to do is desire. Multiple times in Proverbs, it's written that we are fools if we choose willingly, not to learn, if we choose to stay in unbelief, if we choose willingly not to accept what God is offering unto us, we are fools. Because we are choosing eternal damnation, destruction, over everlasting life. Who would make that choice? If we are presented with that choice in that manner, eternal destruction or eternal life, who's going to pick destruction? Nobody. Nobody would. But that's what we do when we don't desire him. When we don't desire to learn, to study, to grow. We are fools. The Bible calls us fools because we are choosing death. We are choosing death and destruction over life. So let's not be discouraged. It's perhaps a simple message this afternoon, but it's something that I believe that the Lord has laid on my heart. We can't be discouraged when we don't understand. When we hear something in a sermon, maybe we don't understand it because of the wording. Maybe we don't understand it because we just don't know what the brother is referencing. Oftentimes, Old Testament scriptures are referenced, which is great. That's bringing scripture together with scripture to explain why we believe what we believe. But sometimes we can hear these stories from the Old Testament, and we don't understand what they're talking about. But now the responsibility is on us. If we hear something we don't understand, the responsibility is on us to go and search, seek out that what we don't understand, to go seek out a more perfect understanding. The responsibility is on us. If a brother speaks something we don't understand it, we can't blame him. We have to blame ourselves. And not blame ourselves, we have to recognize that the unbelief is because I have not come to a perfect understanding of who Christ is, of what God is seeking from me. And he will help us. He will go with us hand in hand and teach us all that we need to know. There's nothing we will need to know for our salvation that God will not reveal unto us perfectly through his Son. That's why he sent us his Son, that we would learn of him, that we would live like him, that we would be saved, that we would believe with our whole heart. Even here as a eunuch, he believed with all his heart that Jesus is the Son of God. And he was baptized. He was saved. Saved from his sins. That's what Jesus is offering, to save us from our sins, to save us from eternal damnation, and to bring us into eternal life. Why would we not choose that? Why would we not choose that this day? This day, the Bible says, if you hear his voice, if you hear the word of God, harden not your hearts. This day, choose life and that everlasting with him. May God bless his word in our hearts in this day. Amen.
It was quite a journey from Ethiopia to Jerusalem and then to make the trip back to Ethiopia. It says that the eunuch went to worship there in Jerusalem. Jesus said that when we worship the Lord, we worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, he went to Jerusalem and he worshiped, but the truth was not yet exposed to him. And so the angel of the Lord told Philip, go down to Gaza. And then the Holy Spirit told Philip, go join yourself to that chariot. So The eunuch was ready and willing to hear the word of God. Philip was ready and willing to be used of the Lord to share the gospel message with this eunuch. And so Philip takes that opportunity. He takes Isaiah and he reveals to the eunuch that it is in fact Jesus Christ who was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb dumb before his shearers. So he opened not his mouth. He preached to him Jesus. He preached to him the truth. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And now the eunuch was able to worship in spirit and in truth because he came to understand who Jesus Christ was. There was a spirit that was ready and willing, both on Philip's part and on the eunuch's part. And then we are to seek the truth. We are truly to desire it. There's a proverb that says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Get this truth, understand this truth, and take it to heart. But it takes an effort on our part, as was mentioned in the prayer as well. I confirm with Brother Zach that the verse that he was looking for was in Jeremiah 29, verse number 13, where the prophet says, the Lord says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." The eunuch made that great journey from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. He sought the Lord. The Lord that didn't go unnoticed with the Lord. The Lord noted that. And then the Lord orchestrated a plan where the eunuch, though he missed it in Jerusalem, was going to receive it while he was on his journey home there in Gaza. And the Lord orchestrated it that Philip would go down and join himself. And here's the eunuch reading Isaiah out loud in his chariot. And it's at that exact moment that the Spirit orchestrated that Philip would join him right at that moment and present then to him the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek him. Seek the truth. And it will be well with us and with our souls. Amen.